I thank you for bearing with me. It's going to be a little longer than usual, which means we have to eat breakfast a little quicker than we usually do, but maybe that's appropriate for the day. I want to learn a little tin can Torah with you. Rabbi Kalonymus Kalman Shapiro was 51 years old when the walls of the Warsaw Ghetto were sealed. It's the same age that I am. He had one son and two daughters. I have one son. I have more daughters. Perhaps that's where kind of the parallel ends. He got married when he was like 15 years old. He was appointed to be a Rebbe by Hasidim when he was only 18 years old. His wife died in 1938. His son was killed in the bombing of Warsaw when the Nazis invaded in 39. He saw his two daughters die, or he saw one of them die. One he didn't know had passed away. He saw the whole period of the Warsaw Ghetto from 1940 to 42. And then after 42, after the ghetto was destroyed, he actually survived, was taken to another camp. And after the rebellion in Sobibor and in Treblinka, the Nazis decided to kill people. He was given the opportunity to escape, and he opted not to escape. I can't even imagine, and he's my age, right? I can't even imagine watching my children die. I can't even imagine, like, you know, how do you go on with faith after that? Eliezer Berkowitz, if you haven't read it, you should read it. Eliezer Berkowitz, in the introduction to Faith of the Holocaust, says, you know, we stand, he himself escaped Germany, he says, we stand on the sidelines and we see people who saw the fires of Auschwitz and they still had faith, so how can we judge them? He says, we also see people who saw the death camps experience and lost total faith in God, and how can we judge them? We're just sitting on the sidelines. We're just watching on the sidelines. The Rambam says in Hilchos Avel, Tzadikim Divrehem Hem Hem Zichronam, that the words of Tzadikim, that's what counts. So I want to learn one of the drashot of that he left, Le'ilui Nishmato, Zichron Tzadik Livracha. He left a number of works of writings of the Warsaw Ghetto. He left them in a tin can, in a milk can, that was buried, I guess, right at the end, right before the destruction. And remember, we're experiencing it now. The last battle started on Erev Pesach on El Haseder, and that was the last battle that went on for a couple of weeks before the Nazis eventually destroyed and liquidated the ghetto. And that's this time, right now. So right now. So in Parshas Metsora, there's a strange halacha about tzarat of a house, that a house can get tzarat, and after it's closed, the Kohen checks it. What happens is that after a week, if the tzarat spreads or the Kohen decides it's tameh, eventually the house has to be destroyed. And Rashi says, why is the house destroyed? Because possibly the people from Emor had left some jewels, had left some gold, had hidden some stuff in the houses, and it's a symbol from Akash Baruch to destroy the house, right? And you can get the jewels. I just saw, I don't know if any of you saw the video of the destruction of the synagogue in Houston. Sam Gelman was a student in Yeshiva for a couple of years, and his father, Rabbi Gelman in Houston, just oversaw the destruction of the synagogue in the wake of the floods there, and it's traumatic. It's incredibly traumatic. And Rashi says, so why they destroy the house? Because you'll find gold in it. So it really was for a good purpose. It was for a good purpose, even though you didn't see that at the beginning. And the Rebbe says, I don't understand. According to Ramban, Tzarat of a house is totally miraculous. Like Rashi said, it was a symbol to know where the gold was. It's really Gamzu L'Tova. Now I want you to listen to the powerful words. Just imagine, he wrote this. He wrote this now in the springtime of 1941. In the winter of 1941, the Chevra Kadisha said that they collected bodies. They went around the ghetto and collected bodies. And they collected 150 or something like that bodies every single night during the winter. So he lived through that. Now the book that he left several books, but the book that he left, he called Chidushei Torah. When it was printed, they called it the Eish Kodesh, and say an apropos name. So he lived through that. He saw his wife die, his son die, his daughter die. He didn't know where his other daughter was. His daughter-in-law, who was very close with, die. His sister-in-law die. And yet he writes the following. So listen to his words. It's just amazing. Post Pesach in 1940. We don't understand the goal of the mitzvot. Right? I don't understand, he says, why, if the whole goal was to find the gold, as Rashi claims, so why did you take a whole week or so where the house is declared tamei, everything in the house has to be pulled out or destroyed if it wasn't? Right, why was the house tamei for a week? If the whole goal is the end game, so why do we go through this period of horror? Of Amash Miramez Lanu of Sharkio Dima Mini Manatu Shakol Mash Hashem Ose Lanu. The Torah is teaching us that everything, though we don't understand the mitzvot, the Torah is telling us a sign, a symbol, an idea. Afilu kichachas v'shalom. Malkeu Tanu, even when God smites us, Hakol Tovahi, everything is for the best. Can you imagine writing this? Can you imagine it? I didn't see the manuscript switcher in Yad Vashem, but supposedly, if you look at the manuscripts, a good friend of mine who is an expert in this stuff told me, you can see as the manuscripts passed years, his writing got more and more scrawl-like and difficult to decipher. You can imagine, they were starving to death. These were drashot, by the way, that were given at Shalashuddas, given at Sudash Lishit, as many Chassid Rebbe's did. The halacha is, if you have no food, so you can learn Torah. So this was instead of food. What we're listening now was instead of food. He says, so even when God smites us, kol atovahi. Now listen to these words. Avam. Keshro im ke'et. When we see now, by the way, in the whole book, he never mentions the Nazis. If you didn't know what this was from, you'd have no clue. You just know it's in pain. So he says, "If all keshrin keet b'yisuri haguf levad malkeotanu." He says, "Okay, if he only hurt us a little bit, we would understand. If it's only our body, we're afflicted, we're ill. I understand. Maybe that's for good for some reason. You know, maybe." It's going to help us somehow or other. But when God punishes us, when He smites us in ways that distance us from Him, in Cheder Latinoko Shel Beit Rabban, there's no school here. Velo yeshiva, there's no place to learn Torah. There's no yeshiva in the ghetto. Velo Beis Hamidrash Lihid Palel but Sibur, He set up a secret shul. Because you couldn't do one publicly, because the Nazis would kill you. There's no place to daven, v'lo mikveh, ukedomeh, all the things necessary for Jewish life were not easily available, and Hashem did that. Then he says, the worry is that you might start to doubt God. I have shar shagam atakam atoyi barak l'tova? Is this really for our benefit? If it was for our benefit, if it was for a good goal, why didn't God smite us with something that would bring us close to Him? V'lo bitul Torah utfila, and not with things that make it impossible to learn, impossible for us to daven, v'chas v'sham kimat kol ha-Torah, as if the whole Torah is forgotten. V'im ein zot chas v'sham yisurim shel v'yashlichem, El Eretz Acheret Kayom Hazeh. Is it not the Pasuk in Devarim? Is it not the Tocha in Devarim that God's kicking us out? Which Chazal say is a remez to the 10 tribes that were forgotten forever. Is that not what's happening now? L'chen ro'im b'tara shagam. Therefore the Torah says, shagam shenega habatim tameyu mitam'ah. Even though the house is tameh and causes tumah, even the house is in a state of hell for the week before it's destroyed, and you see no benefit. It's still for the benefit of Israel. No, we can't see it. First, it's tameh for 7 days. And then the hidden thing is found. There's some trials and tribulations, and eventually there's a redemption. L'chen sarich ha'ish lomar, and he quotes the Mishnah in Maseches Negayim, the following pasuk that Rashi quoted. The Mishnah Negayim says, Rak kenega nireli, that's the pasuk. It appears, the man goes to Cohen and says, it looks like it's a neg in my house. Not is a neg in my house, not it's a blemish in my house, but it looks like a blemish in my house. That's what seems to me. And the Mishnah says, a few tamin chacham, shiodeya shnegihi rak kinega yomar. Even Talmud Chacham, who knows the halachot, and he knows it's really a nega, he knows the reality, he has to say out of faith, it appears like a nega. I'm not sure, I don't know the future. Because a regular person can't know if this is just a blemish. Now, nega has two connotations. Nega is tzarat, is the blemish in the house. Nega also means to be smitten. Rak shelo nireh kenega. It just appears to the person whose house is being destroyed, or will be destroyed when he goes to the Kohen, it looks like a nega. I think it's bad. I just don't know. In the darkness, it's hard to see the redemption. But a man of faith believes there is redemption. Faith after all of this. Of all be'emet tovah hi l'Yisrael asher yativ Hashem imanu. But in the end of the day, I have perfect faith that it will be for the benefit of Israel. He was murdered in 1943. After all of this, he was murdered in 1943. He never saw the redemption. Yezichro Baruch.